Chapter 2. Fundamentals of Development. The development fundamentals simplify and span the formal leader development activities, such as assessing, counseling, coaching, mentoring, broadening, and team building. The fundamentals are common across formal and informal development activities that may overlap with training goals and serve to reinforce a developmental culture and mindset. Other sources provide guidance on techniques associated with the formal activities, such as AR-623-3 on the evaluation process, AR-621-7 and DAPAM-600-3 on broadening assignments, ATP-6-22.1 on the counseling process, and ATP-6-22.6 on team building. Leadership requires establishing interpersonal relationships based on trust and setting the example for everyone, subordinates, peers, and superiors. In leader development surveys, leaders ranked leading a unit, personal examples, and mentoring as the three most effective ways to develop their leadership skills. Experience is a powerful learning tool. However, learning from experience is not guaranteed. As the tenets for developing leaders convey, learning requires commitment and purpose. Learning occurs after reflecting on experiences. This chapter covers setting the conditions for development, gathering and providing feedback, reflection and study, and creating opportunities for continued experiential learning. The following sections focus on the fundamentals of developing leaders. Setting conditions for development. Providing feedback on a leader's actions. Enhancing learning through mentoring, training, reflection, and study. Creating opportunities and evaluating effectiveness. Section 1. Setting conditions. Leaders create the conditions for a developmental culture and build a learning environment to allow subordinates to learn from their own experiences and the experiences of those around them. Setting conditions has two vital components. Establishing a learning environment by encouraging and challenging subordinates to take reasonable risks, grow, and develop on their own initiative. Gaining knowledge of subordinates' unique skills, abilities, backgrounds, and goals. Establishing a learning environment. Leaders set the conditions for development by performing their tasks and missions in ways that inform subordinates throughout the organization that leader development is important. Be receptive to individual input, recommendations, and advice. Good leaders back subordinates trying to do the right thing and learn something new at the same time. Stop those who belittle suggestions to take a different or creative approach. A positive climate encourages a learning environment. Being a role model, setting the example for development is essential. Leaders who model investing in development send the message that leader development is a priority. Techniques for creating conditions promoting development. Subtle actions on the leader's part build trust and communicate the role of trainer and developer. Experienced leaders use several techniques to create a developmental culture. A leader should be present to observe enough key activities without overwhelming subordinates. After initial observations, give the observed leader time and space to exercise leadership without being in the spotlight. This helps establish the leader's role as a supportive resource rather than an evaluative note-taker. It builds trust, self-confidence, and creativity in the follower. As often as possible, leaders should employ an indirect approach. Start by providing observation descriptions along with positive and negative outcomes. Allow the subordinate to understand what is going well and what needs improvement. The opposite of an indirect approach is to micromanage and be overly prescriptive, outlining specifics for completion. Give each leader a fresh, objective start. Compare subordinates against objective standards. Avoid subjective comparisons to past leaders or units, including personal experiences. The bottom line is to observe and assess each leader on individual merit. Avoid thinking of the observation process as a means to grade leaders. Mistakes occur in all organizations and operational environments. Leaders foster a learning environment by acknowledging that honest mistakes come with challenging missions. Tell leaders about a risky, challenging mission. Recount the mistakes made in trying to accomplish it. Wrap up the discussion with the lessons learned from the experience. Learning principles. Development is a change process. Applying learning principles throughout development accelerates, and improves learning. These principles are compatible with and supportive of learning that occurs while completing duties, practical exercises, or collective training. Opportunities that challenge the individual and encourage learning enhance development. Learning best occurs when the interest area has real-world relevance and the learner can synthesize new insights or create new knowledge. Purposeful learning starts when learners are challenged to know more and do better. Purposeful learning occurs when practice at mastery of tasks and skills are integrated into leaders' day-to-day activities. Applying the learning principles results in leaders who actively engage in learning, quickly retain and recall information, and transfer learning to novel situations. Insight: incorporating developmental opportunities. When assessing her company's performance from the previous week during the battalion training meeting, Captain Williams asserts that Alpha Company's squad cohesion is not where it needs to be for the company to advance to platoon collective training. Clearly frustrated, Captain Williams suggests to the battalion commander, Lieutenant Colonel Cano, that last quarter's red cycle tasks and summer transitions prevented leaders from developing their soldiers, teams, and squads. Her first sergeant and fellow command teams nod their heads in agreement. Lieutenant Colonel Cano, I understand your frustration, but we cannot allow high operating tempo and soldier turnover to interfere with our principal obligation as leaders, developing our subordinates. Installation taskings, reception, and farewelling departing teammates are all developmental opportunities and activities that should enhance cohesion. Command Sergeant Major Baker, that's true, sir, but I'm not sure our battalion unit training plan adequately reflects the deliberate and continuous process that is fundamental to developing leaders. The current plan implies leader development is just something we do in a classroom once per quarter. Lieutenant Colonel Cano, fair assessment, Sergeant Major. Major Blank, you and I will review the battalion training plan this week. I want to ensure each event includes leader development objectives linked to the Army's leadership requirements model. Gaining knowledge of subordinates. For effective leader development, individual relationships with each subordinate are necessary. Leaders who routinely interact with subordinates understand their subordinates' backgrounds and experiences better. This enables discovery of special skills and experiences to support specific missions. Getting to know subordinates communicates a genuine interest in them as individuals, builds confidence, and generates trust. Trust is key to having candid talks with leaders about their developmental needs. Team trust and unit cohesion. Creating a positive climate that encourages learning contributes to all development aspects. Subordinates have to be receptive, engaged, and ready to develop. Leaders should be aware of subordinates' individual needs when building rapport and offering feedback. Some individuals will need more, some will need less. Some individuals seek additional attention and feedback, while some will want less. The objective of engaging with subordinates is to listen to their responses and understand their situation. Build rapport by sharing something about yourself. Early in interactions with subordinates, briefly share personal experiences, including areas of specialized expertise and areas of less experience. In certain circumstances, using social media to observe and share ideas may be beneficial. Accepting an invitation to connect with a subordinate or allow a subordinate to follow your social media requires forethought. Social media platforms allow subordinates to observe how leaders align their words and deeds and allow leaders to observe and engage with subordinates about life events during and after service. Insight: sharing experiences. Learning from others' experiences can be invaluable. Provide opportunities for leaders to share and discuss their experiences in terms of the leader competencies. See ADP 6-22. Choose a competency. Discuss the behaviors that support it. Describe a time someone demonstrated the behavior well. What actions did they take? What was the outcome? What makes this a good demonstration of the competency? Describe a situation where someone did not demonstrate the competency but could have. What actions did they take? What was the outcome? What actions would have been more effective? Individual development plan reviews. Counseling and feedback provide clear, timely, and accurate information concerning individual performance compared to established standards. During professional growth counseling and feedback sessions, leaders should help subordinates identify individual strengths and developmental needs to design an individual development plan, IDP, a tool primarily used by the individual subordinate to document short and long-term goals for career and personal development. All individuals are responsible for developing and maintaining their IDP. Leaders gain better understanding of their subordinates by helping them refine their IDP for an individualized approach to professional development. Likewise, individuals and leaders should understand that preparing an IDP does not solve all development issues. The form only documents and guides the necessary actions to reach the specified goals while employing strengths and addressing needs. Reserve component IDPs should include career development goals that balance Army careers with civilian careers. Insight: Integrating Individual Development Plans. Colonel Jones and Command Sergeant Major Hart are conducting their daily closeout meeting after the brigade mission analysis brief for an upcoming combined arms live fire exercise. Colonel Jones: Sergeant Major, I've noticed a trend during our brigade train-up that suggests our leaders at Echelon are having trouble anticipating risks and opportunities in our large-scale combat operations training scenarios. Command Sergeant Major Hart: That is interesting, sir. Where are these trends coming from? Colonel Jones: I had our battalion commanders analyze their subordinates' IDPs to help us identify our strengths and weaknesses. They briefed their analysis during the latest training brief. Our leaders self-identified mental agility as an attribute they considered a developmental need. Also, you and I have observed that our leaders need more training reps to teach them what future tasks and resources to anticipate in combat. Command Sergeant Major Hart: Well, sir, if we identify these needs early in exercise planning, it will give us some options. We could conduct a formal professional development session for the brigade, but I doubt we have the space available in the unit training plan to adequately address these dynamic developmental needs. Another option is to be deliberate with exercise planning, to incorporate these specific developmental needs as part of your training objectives. Colonel Jones: That's a great idea, Sergeant Major. Let's meet with Major Price tomorrow to brainstorm some ways to induce critical thinking to our leaders during training. Colonel Jones and Command Sergeant Major Hart met with Major Price to adjust the exercise scenario and training objectives to purposefully challenge, evaluate, and provide feedback on leaders' ability to think critically and anticipate environmental changes. Colonel Jones used his opening comments prior to the course of action brief to update the battalion command teams on his intent to develop leaders. Section 2. Providing Feedback. Leaders need to learn how to observe subordinates and provide developmental feedback. Using several assessment and feedback methods provides a robust and more accurate picture of the individual and provides better developmental opportunities. A leader's ability to provide feedback to subordinates significantly contributes to their development. It enhances and accelerates learning from the day-to-day work experience, the most valued and effective environment for development. Feedback can reinforce, through recognition or praise, or change or eliminate, such as correction, constructive criticism, or alternative approaches, behaviors. Timely, accurate feedback translates into better leader performance, which in turn has a positive effect on unit performance and mission success. Providing accurate feedback starts with planned observation and accurate observation and assessment. Observation planning. The first step to having a role in a subordinate's development process is to observe them. To use available time productively, plan to observe them challenged by a developmental need, observe them excelling by applying a personal strength, observe their actions during critical times of unit performance, observe decision-making and conduct, observe their effect on subordinate leaders and soldiers, see them relaxed and available for conversation. Do not draw a lasting leader impression from a single observation. It usually takes several observations before a behavior pattern emerges. Take time to gather information from others observing the same leader, as different people focus on different aspects. Accurate and descriptive observations. Accurate, descriptive leadership observations are important to assess performance and provide feedback that produces focused learning. Assessing performance into developmental need meets standard, and strength categories informs what needs development or sustainment and provides motivation to develop. These behavior indicators provide general performance measures for varying proficiency levels for the leader attributes and core leader competencies required of all Army leaders, CADP 6-22. Understanding the behavior indicators and observation methods provides a strong base to provide others' feedback, specifically when using formal tools such as DA Form 4856, Developmental Counseling Form, DA Form 67-10-1 Alpha, Officer Evaluation Report Support Form, or DA Form 2166-9-1 Alpha, NCO Evaluation Report Support Form. Observing leadership occurs by watching how a leader interacts with and influences others. Written directives, verbal communications, and leader actions all indicate how a leader performs. Raters learn about subordinates' leadership by observing reactions among peers, subordinates, and other superiors. The following performance indicators are grouped according to the leadership requirements model by leader attribute categories, character, presence, and intellect, and leader competency categories, lead, develop, and achieve. The performance indicators provide three proficiency levels, a developmental need, the standard, and a strength. For developmental purposes, these three categories are sufficient and apply across cohorts. A developmental need is identified as a specific need for development when the observed individual does not demonstrate the leader attribute or competency. Strength indicators are associated with successfully performing leader attributes or competencies. Strengths include a consistent pattern of natural talents, knowledge gained through learning, and skills acquired through practice and experience. Army adoption of a core attribute and competency model means that no list comprehensively lists all performance requirements for any leader. Each rater, counselor, mentor, or trainer will need to address specific duty or functional requirements. They should be able to apply the ideas to specific performance objectives designated for individuals that exceed the core leadership requirements. While comparing observations against the leader performance indicators, determine the observed leader's proficiency level. First, review the behavior that appears in the center column, which represents the standard for leader performance. The column on the left describes performance indicating a strength. Individual exceeds the standard, while the column to the right describes performance indicating a developmental need. Individual does not meet the standard. Understanding the competencies and attributes in the Army Leadership Requirements Model is essential to make careful and accurate observations of a subordinate's performance and evaluation of potential. Leader attributes are inward characteristics that shape the motivations for actions and bearing, and how thinking affects decisions and interactions with others. Attributes support a leader's development and effective performance. The core leader competencies apply across all leadership levels, while subtle changes occur in purpose and activity at each level and include how Army leaders lead people, develop themselves, subordinates, and organizations, and achieve the mission. They are what the Army expects of all leaders and are the most outwardly visible leader performance signs. Character. Character is a person's true nature comprised of their morals, virtues, values, conscience, and sense of purpose, which make up their core and are the mindset and moral foundation behind actions and decisions. Leaders of character adhere to the Army values, display empathy, the warrior ethos/service ethos, humility, and practice good discipline. Presence. Presence is the impression a leader conveys to others through their appearance, demeanor, actions, and words. Leaders with presence demonstrate military and professional bearing, fitness, confidence, and resilience. Intellect. Intellect is comprised of a leader's brain power and knowledge that enables them to think creatively and critically, to gain situational understanding, make sound judgments, solve problems, and act. Intellect allows leaders to reason analytically, critically, ethically, and with cultural sensitivity. Leaders with high intellect are mentally agile, good at judgment, innovative, tactful around others, and expert in technical, tactical, cultural, geopolitical, and other relevant knowledge areas. Lead. Leads is how leaders provide purpose, direction, and motivation to accomplish missions and improve their organizations. Leads consists of five competencies. Leads others, extends influence beyond the chain of command, builds trust, leads by example, and communicates. Develop. To ensure the quality of our leaders and future leaders does not diminish, All Army soldiers and DA civilians have a responsibility to develop themselves and their subordinates, to develop the attributes and competencies of their subordinates as well as themselves. Army leaders focus on the competencies of prepare self, creates a positive environment, develop others, and stewards the profession. Achieve. Leaders achieve by getting results as it relates to actions of leading to accomplish tasks and missions on time and to standard. Leaders get results by requiring the right integration of tasks, roles, resources, and priorities to achieve the desired outcomes. Observation execution. Effective commanders observe training, participate in operations, and interact with subordinates and their units. Peers, trainers, staff, and others can make accurate observations that contribute to assessment. Unit metrics do not always provide an accurate picture of leader impact. A unit can have ideal training or readiness statuses and a less than ideal leadership climate. Unlike readiness or training assessments, leadership assessments speak to the leader behaviors that contributed to the unit's performance. Combine perception and reality with reality best confirmed by multiple sources. Occur through two-way communication between leader and the led. Observing subordinates requires leaders to find a balance between being dispassionate in their observation and still being empathetic to their soldiers. Subordinate leaders who know they are being watched may behave differently with their observing leaders around. Observation also requires emotional perception. Knowing when a subordinate is overwhelmed, nervous, not receptive, or frustrated is key to helping them through the development process. Observations should be accurate, descriptive, tied to a key event, and accurately depict a behavior pattern without observer bias. Accurate, descriptive observations. Observing behaviors occurs by watching how a leader interacts with and influences others. Observations focus on what was or was not done well and what to do differently. Written directives, verbal communications, and actions all provide indications of how a leader influences others. Leaders learn about their subordinate by observing the reactions of peers, subordinates, and superiors. The observer must also consider how to differentiate performance of a desired behavior, the ability and initiative shown to improve or engage in a desired behavior, and the extent and duration of effects that the behavior has on individual or unit performance. Three key components ensure observations are accurate and descriptive. Plan multiple observations around key events, but also observe routine operations. Look for behavior patterns. Record important observations immediately for use in performance and professional growth counseling and evaluations. Use words that depict action, link to effects and outcomes. Plan observations around key events. Key training events offer opportunities to demonstrate a considerable number of leadership competencies and attributes. Major training events require time to plan, prepare, execute, and assess. Therefore, an observer can interact with their subordinate throughout the event to offer insights and enable corrections. Most training events are controlled environments with clear standards for execution, making it easier for an observer to structure feedback and additional event iterations if necessary. Training events also allow a unique opportunity for observers to see how a learning leader reacts to friction, frustration, and, in certain circumstances, failure. An observer can help the observed soldier understand how successful and poor reactions to events affects unit and mission success. Additionally, training events can stop and restart as needed to allow an observed soldier to immediately correct mistakes and address lessons from their observer. Knowing when to start, restart, or stop the event altogether requires an observer to be familiar with the level of mental or emotional fatigue a soldier can manage before they are no longer able to retain or adapt to new information. Look for behavior patterns. With time and frequent observation, leaders gain confidence and start to see a consistent behavior pattern. It is a judgment call as to when to consider an observation as a behavior pattern. To observe for patterns, note how often a leader exhibits the same behavior over time. The behavior frequency may indicate a pattern. If sufficient time has passed and the observer can predict the leader's actions, then a behavior pattern has emerged. Be alert to changes in performance and causes for strengths, inconsistencies, or developmental needs. Record important observations. Important leadership observation details may be lost or be inaccurately recorded if not written down soon after they occur. A way to capture observations and assessment is to use a quick, accurate, and complete method to take notes that supports an effective feedback session, such as using a situation, observation, associate and assess, and reinforce and recommend SOAR framework. SOAR elements are: situation. Describe the assessment situation and conditions. This should include the time, location, event, or other situation context. Observation. Describe the leadership behaviors that the leader exhibits. Associate and assess. Identify and associate the competency or attribute that best describes the leader actions. Reinforce and recommend. Record how to reinforce the leader's behavior through praise or correction. Accurate and complete notes are useful when providing leaders with feedback. The SOAR format is one way that leaders can record observations. However, leaders might choose to use a different method that fits their own style and needs. Use words that depict action. A leader needs to describe what the subordinate is doing when they are leading. By writing down an observation using action words, the observer can tell a better story about all the other unseen circumstances surrounding behaviors, decisions, and actions. Writing an observation down as though writing a story provides a better picture for the observed soldier, who is often too wrapped up in the leading process under observation and may not see immediate feedback from others or actions. Link to effects and outcomes. Leaders and soldiers in subordinate echelons feel the positive or negative consequences of a leader's action. Leadership affects task or mission accomplishment. Understanding cause and effect for a subordinate leader's actions and effects on a mission or unit is a complex process. Aligning all facts for feedback can delay the feedback process and requires experience and empathy to balance the need for facts and feedback. Leaders can undermine trust by providing an incorrect cause and effect to a subordinate, which undermines their willingness to continue learning to lead effectively. An observer leader is obligated to seek the relevant contributing factors to events before providing feedback. While it is not always possible to see everything, coordination with other staff and trusted observers will fill in gaps necessary to provide richer feedback. Feedback delivery. When experienced leaders reflect on their own development, they place high importance on day-to-day, two-way communication with their senior leaders because they do the same with their subordinates. Feedback is less effective if a leader waits until a formal sit-down counseling session to provide feedback. Leaders should provide feedback as soon as possible after observing a particular leader behavior to encourage positive outcomes. Day-to-day informal feedback makes sitting down with subordinates for developmental counseling much easier. This informal feedback develops a shared understanding of the subordinate's strengths and developmental needs. Still, many leaders find it difficult to sit down with a subordinate to engage in developmental counseling. ATP 6-22.1 provides extensive guidelines on the counseling process. Providing feedback on every observed act, response, or behavior overwhelms a subordinate. Provide feedback based on established competencies and attributes. Focus feedback on a few key behaviors that, if changed, contributes the most to improved leader and unit performance. Having a focus for improvement motivates the subordinate to take action to change. Ask the observed leader for a self-assessment before providing personal views. Do this by first recounting back to the leader the situation and observation, the first two SOAR sections. Then, ask the leader to provide an assessment and recommendation. This reinforces three important leader development principles: leader self-assessment and self-awareness, individual leader responsibility for development, and leader ownership of the recommendation. Preparation and timing of feedback during training. Before training starts, leaders should explain the feedback tool to the unit and its leaders and general feedback process expectations. Leaders should emphasize the feedback's developmental nature. In preparing to give feedback, the observer sets several goals to ensure a successful outcome. An observer finds the best balance between gathering relevant facts that will provide context to the lesson, but without overwhelming the learner with information. Organizing feedback using a prearranged feedback tool helps an observer keep to the relevant material and gives the receiver an idea of what to expect. By discussing feedback formats and expectations, a leader can ask their observer to focus observations on specific areas where they may feel uncertain or want to improve. Sharing control and expectations for a feedback event between the observer and leader increases the potential to listen and learn and decreases defensive or confrontational behavior. The timing to discuss leadership observations can be critical and a deciding factor between whether perceiving a situation as evaluative or developmental. Ultimately, determining the appropriate time to deliver an observation is at the leader's discretion. The observer should be prepared, calm, motivated to share observations, and be familiar with the conditions that make a leader comfortable with receiving and understanding feedback. If an observer is rushed and the leader is frustrated or angry, it may be advisable to delay feedback delivery. Use personal judgment to consider whether delivery should occur during action, at a break in action, at day's end, or at event completion based on conditions. Sometimes, leaders deliver observations as they occur or during the action feedback. This is especially true when pointing out to the leader those actions must occur in the moment to allow observation. However, do not disrupt the training exercise. Find the right break in the action to deliver observations. This could be during a lull after a major event has occurred, a major success, or a failure. Consider waiting until day's end, especially if observations are lengthy and require discussion. To enable better collective learning, wait until after conducting the Unit or Team After Action Review, AAR. Then, deliver observations to the subordinate privately. This aligns observation delivery of the subordinate's strengths and areas for improvement with those of the unit or team as identified in the AAR, assuming they are compatible. If observation delivery is best done at the event completion, consider letting the subordinate set the time for the discussion. At a minimum, provide a heads up about a situation or circumstance to be discussed. This allows the observed leader an opportunity to reflect and mentally prepare to listen and receive. This also allows an observer a chance to gather their thoughts, address their emotions, and ensure they have a complete understanding of the event's results for the leader and unit. This approach reduces the likelihood the subordinate will be preoccupied, nervous, or defensive. Observation delivery. It is important to plan how to deliver observations to a subordinate. The following delivery methods, when done correctly, provide a leader with an understanding of the effect behaviors have on consequences, all based on careful and planned observations. The two-way communication techniques used to deliver an observation should motivate subordinates to start acting in ways that improve leader and unit performance. These steps represent an indirect approach to providing leadership observations. Once leaders are ready to discuss observations and reinforce and recommend actions, the following steps provide an effective framework for delivering observations and flow in a logical sequence. Confirm the observed event being discussed. Ask the leader for a self-assessment. Clarify and agree on the results. Add personal observation notes. Confirm the situation. Start by orienting the subordinate's attention to the observed situation. State the situation and clarify that the observation is about leadership. Reiterate the information recorded. I'd like to discuss the actions you took in the battlefield simulation you just led with your staff. SOAR situation. Ask for a self-assessment. Ask the subordinate to assess the situation and personal leader actions. Guide questioning to the subordinate's leadership during the event or situation. The subordinate's response should match the leader's assessment. If it does not, the leader should ask additional specific questions. How effective was the communication between you and the subordinates you were leading? And how could you tell? SOAR, associate and assess. What factors did you observe that may have contributed to miscommunication or a vague understanding among the troops? SOAR, associate and assess. Clarify and come to an agreement. Leaders confirm the subordinate either agrees with the assessment or acknowledges a difference in opinion if the subordinate does not share the assessment. Confirm agreement or acknowledgement before proceeding to the assessment, linkages, and observations. That is what I saw as well. Actually, in my observations, I noted that you were directive in your message and didn't ask for questions. Would you agree that this is the approach you took? SOAR, observation. Add your observations. Leaders may include observations that the subordinate is not aware. Leaders build on what the subordinate has already said to increase personal self-awareness. Specific behaviors that affected the consequence or outcome include. Your assessment is correct. When you asked for other viewpoints, good information sharing followed. SOAR, observation. It was clear some staff had differing opinions or other points to add, though the opportunity to share really didn't arise. SOAR, observation. Insight, giving feedback in 60 seconds or less. Regularly providing constructive feedback is important to ensure improved leader and unit performance. Opportunities to provide subordinates feedback are available each day. Review the conversation below for an example. Situation. Lieutenant Colonel Smith, the battalion commander, observes a platoon live fire exercise AAR that Captain Phillips, a company commander, is conducting. After the brief, Lieutenant Colonel Smith approaches Captain Phillips. First, Lieutenant Colonel Smith provides a brief situation description. Captain Phillips, I was in the back of the room during the AAR. Let's talk a minute. Next, Lieutenant Colonel Smith describes the leader behavior observed. When I came in, Sergeant Jones was describing some friction during the transition from indirect to direct fires. You listened intently to the general descriptions and asked some probing questions to get more details. Captain Phillips, yes, sir. I want squad leaders to understand how important communication is during transitions on the battlefield. Finally, Lieutenant Colonel Smith provides specific constructive feedback to reinforce the observed behavior. That's a great technique to ask a few questions to confirm what Sergeant Jones said. He said he had trouble identifying the conditions necessary to engage with direct fires. You noticed that. From the excitement in Sergeant Jones's voice, I think he knew that as a leader, he was in the right place to assist the platoon. If you had not probed for details, the outcome of that AAR may have been different. Keep up the good work. Ways to further engage leaders. Leaders raise questions that prompt subordinates to think about how to act or respond. Leaders should ask for recommendations about how the subordinate will take better actions in the future, avoid problems, and take advantage of an opportunity. Here are some possible questions. How will you handle a similar situation next time? SOAR, transition to reinforce and recommend. What future steps can you take to avoid this outcome? SOAR, transition to reinforce and recommend. Reinforce, validate a strength. Once the leader and subordinate agree on the behaviors that contributed to a consequence and a recommendation for the future, the leader should provide reinforcement on what the subordinate is doing correctly. Here are some examples. Your influencing strategies are working for you. Keep it up. SOAR, reinforce and recommend. Consider closing out staff meetings with opportunities for questions or discussion. Your pre-meeting planning and organizing is effective. You should continue that. SOAR, reinforce and recommend. Additional tips for providing feedback. Consider these items when providing feedback. Focus on the leader's behavior and actions. Identify what the leader has control over to change. Use focused questions as a form of feedback to create discovery learning. Allow leaders the opportunity to produce a recommendation to the observation. This promotes their taking ownership and responsibility for it. Be familiar with improvement actions described in Chapter 4 and offer appropriate ones. Remind leaders that this source is available to guide development, including improving their understanding of positive and negative behaviors and underlying causes. Lessons from delivering observations. Leaders should avoid delivering some kinds of feedback. Especially important to avoid are vague and general ideas. You are a good leader. Instead, focus on specific, observed strengths. Using absolutes or generalities, such as always or never. You never follow up after meetings. Instead, give specific behavior examples. Observations applied to general traits or the total person. You're an introvert. Instead, focus on specific, observed actions. Untimely feedback that the leader is unable to apply. 2 days ago, you gave ambiguous instructions at the mission rehearsal. If they are not able to do anything useful with the feedback, focus on the future rather than the past. It is important for leaders to learn from observation delivery and realize it takes practice. It is helpful after an interaction for leaders to reflect on their delivery. Reflective questions include, was my subordinate receptive to what we discussed? Based on my questions, how easily did they identify the behaviors that needed to change? Did my subordinate ask for techniques or ideas on how to change or improve? Is there agreement on the next development step and its time frame? Is there evidence that my subordinate is acting on the observations? After delivering observations, leaders look for the next opportunity to observe the subordinate's leadership. Then gauge how well the subordinate received the observation, what steps the leader has taken to change behavior, and what effect the change is having on unit outcomes. Subordinate receptiveness to feedback. Trust and a developmental culture are critical to ensuring receptiveness of leader observations. Leaders perceived as genuinely interested in helping subordinates develop tend to have subordinates who are more receptive to observations and feedback. To gauge receptiveness, leaders must remain attuned to verbal and nonverbal cues. These may occur as verbal disagreement or resistance, or nonverbal gestures such as folded arms, rolling eyes, or lack of attentiveness. These cues can affect an observer by increasing their frustration with the feedback process. Refocus the subordinate and yourself by reaffirming your feedback intent maximizes the subordinate's capabilities to learn and lead. Restating the intent of your observation as a chance for self-development, not personal judgment. Reiterating what went well, noting growth and progress. Ask why they might not be receptive. For instance, it seems you disagree with what I am saying. Can you share what you are thinking? Sometimes, a subordinate does not respond to any feedback. When this occurs, the leader might determine if an underlying cause prevents a positive response. Ultimately, the responsibility for learning lies with the subordinate, but an effective leader ensures the best possible conditions are set for continued learning. Even in difficult situations, leaders use different techniques to gain the subordinate's attention and create learning opportunities. These are some ways to redirect a non-responsive subordinate. Work with the subordinate leader's subordinates and peers to ensure their actions do not affect the mission or teammate performance. Having teammates engaged and invested in making a leader better is a deliberate effort that must occur with sufficient time and resources to mitigate effects on others. Use experience. Talk the situation over with other leaders skilled at observing leadership. Obtain their perspectives and ideas on how to work with non-responsive subordinates. Section 3. Enhancing learning. Setting conditions and providing feedback and advice are two development fundamentals. Applying practices to enhance learning makes development more effective. Enhancing learning draws on the developmental value from learning opportunities. Learning from experience is enhanced by facilitating what the experience means. Understanding an experience requires interpreting the event to create personal understanding. This process requires observation, feedback, dialogue, and reflection. A leader-subordinate pair, coach, or mentor can use these four steps with a leader, any group, or adapted for an individual learner. This section focuses on how dialogue can bolster the reflection process and understanding. Chapter 3 addresses how an individual uses this learning process. At the individual level, experiential learning is learning while doing. At the organizational level, experiential learning is improving while doing. Experiential learning is consistent with the principle of train as you fight. Practical approaches to enhance learning include leader role models, mentoring, guided discovery learning, and individual and group study. These practices are not scheduled events, but are powerful ways to integrate and promote learning in the day-to-day organizational operations. Because leaders vary in their skill and experience level, an effective way to learn is directly from unit role models. Positive role models exhibit leadership behaviors that others should emulate. Insight, the 5-minute shadow. Bring in a subordinate to observe or participate in an aspect of work that will improve their abilities to maximize the experience. Communicate the situation, decision, or issue. Convey the importance of acting appropriately or making the right decision. Describe possible consequences, second and third order effects. Discuss the decision or actions and reasoning behind them. Guided discovery learning techniques. Guided discovery learning is an advanced technique that experienced leaders employ to help others learn. Leaders use the technique in coaching, counseling, and mentoring situations. guided discovery learning is an indirect method that engages individuals to identify personal strengths and developmental needs, supported by a senior leader. Guided discovery learning is effective when a learner effectively makes sense of incoming information and integrates it with their personal base of experience and knowledge of relevant doctrine. A supervisor generally keeps the subordinate on track through direction, coaching, feedback, or modeling. When appropriate, guided discovery learning is more effective than prescriptive methods where the leader prescribes problem solutions to a subordinate. Creating guided discovery learning options for a subordinate requires deliberate commitment from a leader to resource the learning experience, accept risk that they may learn a different lesson, or learn at a different pace than the leader originally planned. Striking a balance between prescriptive methods and indirect methods requires a holistic understanding of how a particular soldier learns and leads. To facilitate effective guided discovery learning for subordinates, a leader ensures subordinates have sufficient background knowledge, training, and tools to experiment and learn. Sufficient time exists to experience failure, reset training conditions, and learn from the experience. The organization has a permissive learning environment, encouraging learning without judgment. Guided discovery learning techniques are an effective way to deliver leadership observations. These methods are commonly employed when developing subordinates' leadership skills. Positive reinforcement, open-ended questioning, multiple perspectives, scaling questions, cause and effect analysis, recovery from setbacks, experience. Positive reinforcement. A leader's first subordinate observations ought to focus on what they are doing right. Commenting on positive actions up front shows a commitment to balanced and fair observation. It builds confidence and confirms productive performance that accomplishes an objective. Open-ended questioning. Asking open-ended questions gets subordinates thinking about the situation and their leadership pertaining to unit performance. Broad questions maximize the potential for discovery. Leaders may need to ask additional specific questions if the subordinate is not identifying issues that need attention. An advantage of this approach gives subordinates hints about what they may need to do differently, yet allows them to discover the actual issue on their own. In this way, responsibility for evaluation is with the subordinate, as is ownership for fixing the situation. Open-ended questioning is useful when the leader has time to listen, reflect, and do something about the situation. Thus, the busiest part of mission planning or execution may not be the most appropriate time to ask an open-ended question. Open-ended questioning is employed by identifying the outcome for the leader to realize, asking general questions about factors related to that outcome, asking specific questions and providing hints until the leader connects the outcome with actions, listening closely to the leader's response, confirming and reinforcing what is heard as an accurate assessment, probing further or offer outcome-based evidence if they are not accurately assessing the situation. Multiple perspectives. Employing multiple perspectives helps a leader see the situation from another person's perspective or a different frame of reference. A complementary step to the decision-making process is to understand a problem and appreciate its complexities before seeking to solve it. Supervisors help subordinates reframe the current situation through open-ended questions or soliciting feedback from other stakeholders. The purpose of multiple perspectives is to prompt subordinates to think creatively and innovatively in their approach. Leaders should use this technique when a subordinate appears stuck with a limited way of thinking or is unable to break away from a mental block. Scaling questions. The scaling questions technique is useful in facilitating a leader's self-understanding of how difficult or challenging a problem is in relative terms. It facilitates incremental improvement and helps one recognize that progress has occurred. Supervisors ask subordinates to use a 10-point scale, where 10 is highest or best and 1 is lowest or worst, to assess personal performance on an action or competency behavior. The subordinate could share what they could do differently to improve performance a point or two on the scale. Cause and effect analysis. Leader actions are often several layers or processes removed from their consequences. The cause and effect analysis is a method to identify the root or original cause of consequences and outcomes. It is not always obvious to leaders how certain behaviors affect outcomes further down the line. Cause and effect analysis is important because a leader in unit will continue to experience a negative outcome until identifying and resolving the actual root cause. Many times, only subsequent effects or symptoms of a problem are addressed, leaving the root cause intact. Leaders use cause and effect analysis to address shortcomings when limited time and capability exist. Identifying a root cause focuses on remedial actions to fix the problem and change the consequence. Cause and effect analysis is facilitated through asking what rather than why causes it to happen. Show consequences or outcome data. Continuing to ask what and what else until identifying all causes. It helps to capture work on paper or a whiteboard. Depicting the relationships between causes and effect. Identifying which causes, if changed or isolated, would prevent the outcome or consequence reoccurring. Identifying solutions or changes to implement without causing other negative outcomes or consequences to occur. Coaching the leader on being proactive to avoid negative outcomes before they occur. Recovery from setbacks. When a subordinate experiences a difficult situation, setback, or seemingly insurmountable challenge, a supervisory leader can help restore confidence and prevent conditions from deteriorating. Employing the following enables recovery from setbacks. Reinforcing a strength, a leadership behavior they are performing well. Helping the leader recognize that they are already successfully handling some part of the task. Asking open-ended questions to increase situational awareness and probe for solutions. Providing recommendations if or when the leader is unable to arrive at a suitable course of action. Increasing the percentage of positive reinforcement and support relative to negative reinforcement. Experience. By virtue of position and experience, a leader often knows something is going right or wrong before the subordinate knows it. It is an art to know when to impart aspects of that experience to a subordinate. Learning can occur by providing leaders with hints, well short of full understanding. Leaders should carefully weigh the pros and cons of providing a subordinate with hints during training exercises. It is important to allow situations and events to unfold without premature intervention. If the leader provides information or solutions to the subordinate too soon, the situation's development value diminishes as ambiguous or adverse situations compel leaders to adapt and problem-solve on their own. Yet, leaders do not want to hold on to information that may inhibit learning during the exercise. Without hints, a subordinate may experience a situation and its consequences, but not effectively learn from it. With hints and additional information, the subordinate launches on a learning expedition while the situation is still evolving. The inquisitive subordinate will follow up on the leader's hints and find out why systems or people did not perform to expectations, a valuable learning expedition. Coaching. Coaching is a development technique used for a skill, task, or specific behaviors. Coaching helps another individual or team through a set of tasks or with improving personal qualities. A coach gets the person or team to understand their current level of performance and guides their performance to the next level. A central coaching task is to link feedback interpretation with developmental actions. Coaches advise an individual or team on what levels can be reached and what to do to reach them. Like other development processes, coaching has several components. Building rapport. The coach builds a strong rapport to facilitate trust and open communications. Gathering and analyzing information. Review performance indicators or leader or team perceptions to determine an accurate picture of capabilities. Addressing the gaps. Discuss specific issues, light of similarities and differences with typical expectations. Narrowing focus. The coach guides the leader to identify the areas to strengthen and develop. Setting goals. The coach assists the leader in establishing development goals. Planning development. Together, the coach and leader determine development paths, desired outcomes, and specific developmental actions. Promoting action. The coach sets conditions that help to sustain developmental action and establish accountability for development. Coaches can draw on guided discovery learning techniques to establish and maintain rapport and build commitment. The coach tailors how directive feedback and guidance are depending on the situation and performance level of those being coached. Coaches involved in developmental actions should find a balance between challenge and the learner's perception of ability to achieve incremental improvement. To prepare for coaching, leaders study and apply the fundamental guidelines for leader development, They are passionate learners in the area being coached. They arm themselves with tips, techniques, and practice routines to advise subordinates. Developmental actions for leadership include observing other leaders, modeling what good leaders do, and practicing new techniques or approaches. Leaders can apply techniques in the conduct of their duties, look for different duty opportunities, or identify outside opportunities. Other actions include reading, research, consulting, and formal coursework. Sometimes, applying different mindsets and ways of thinking provide enough development to meet established goals. ADP 6-22 provides guidelines for coaching. Focus goals, clarify self-awareness, uncover potential, eliminate obstacles, develop action plans and commitment, and conducts follow-up. Counseling. Counseling is the process used by leaders to review with a subordinate their demonstrated performance and potential. See ATP 6-22.1 for more on the process of counseling. Counseling, one of the most important leadership and professional development responsibilities, enables Army leaders to help soldiers and DA civilians become more capable, resilient, satisfied, and better prepared for current and future responsibilities. Regular developmental counseling is an essential tool for developing future leaders at every level. Developmental counseling is categorized by the purpose of the session. Understanding the purpose and types of counseling enables the leader to adapt the counseling session to the individual subordinate's needs to achieve desired outcomes and manage expectations. Professional growth counseling includes planning for the accomplishment of individual and professional goals. During the counseling, leader and subordinate conduct a review to identify and discuss the subordinate's strengths and weaknesses and to create an individual development plan using DA Form 7906, Individual Development Plan, that builds upon those strengths and compensates for or eliminates shortcomings. Leaders can assist subordinates in prioritizing development efforts based upon those perceived strengths and weaknesses. As part of professional growth counseling, the leader and subordinate may choose to develop a pathway to success with short and long-term goals and objectives. The discussion includes opportunities for civilian or military schooling, future duty assignments, special programs, available training support resources, re-enlistment options, and promotion opportunities and considerations. Documentation of this discussion results in an individual development plan. Each individual development plan will vary, as every person's needs and interests are different. Mentoring. Mentorship is a voluntary developmental relationship that exists between a person of greater experience and a person of lesser experience that is characterized by mutual trust and respect. AR 600-100. A mentor assists personal and professional development by helping a mentee clarify personal, professional, and career goals and develop actions to improve personal attributes, competencies, and skills. A mentee seeks and receives mentorship. Army leaders are encouraged to participate voluntarily in mentoring. Age or seniority is not a prerequisite for providing mentoring. A junior individual may mentor a senior individual based on experience or specialized expertise. Having a mentor grows in importance as you become more senior. Mentoring is a professional relationship. However, mentor-mentee connections are best when they occur outside the chain of command. This is not contrary to a leader's responsibility to develop subordinates. It differentiates between the mentor and leader roles to develop, counsel, teach, and instruct subordinates. Supervisors should refrain from appointing mentors or formally matching individuals with mentors. Participant self-selection leads to the most effective mentoring relationship. Leaders foster mentorship by educating leaders in the organization on mentor responsibilities, participating as a mentor, inviting experienced leaders to visit and share their mentoring experiences. Mentor roles and responsibilities. Selection as a mentor is a complement to one's professional abilities and competence. Mentoring is a powerful tool for personal and professional development. Mentoring generally improves individual performance, retention, morale, personal and professional development, and career progression. Mentoring offers many opportunities for mentors and mentees to improve their leadership, interpersonal, and technical skills, as well as achieve personal and professional objectives. It is not required for leaders to have the same occupational or educational background as those they coach or counsel. In comparison, Mentors generally specialize in the same area as those they mentor. Consequently, mentoring relationships tend to be occupation-specific, focused primarily on developing a better prepared leader. Mentoring is crucial to development and retention. Once the relationship is initiated, the mentor has responsibility to share organizational insight gained through knowledge and experience. Showing mentees how to manage a certain situation is far more effective than just talking them through it. Expand the mentee's network. Mentors advise on a spectrum of topics, ranging from specific skills to broader career goals. Mentees gain sound guidance, access to established networks, and enhanced personal and professional perspectives. Help with setting development goals. Mentees often seek mentors to enable professional growth, perhaps advancement in the organization, or in changing career fields. Provide developmental feedback. Giving feedback increases the mentee's self-awareness, particularly concerning strengths and developmental needs. Mentoring relationships. The appearance of favoritism or creating conflict with raters or senior raters should keep leaders from mentoring subordinates within their chain of command. Subordinates should avoid approaching superiors in their chain of command as mentors. A successful mentoring relationship is based on several elements. Respect. Established when a mentee recognizes desirable attributes, skills, and competencies that the mentor has, and when the mentor appreciates the mentee's attitude, effort, and progress. Trust. Mentors and mentees should work together to build trust through open communication, forecasting how decisions could affect goals, discussing progress frequently, monitoring changes, and expressing enthusiasm for the relationship. Realistic expectations and self-perception. A mentor may refine the mentee's self-perception by discussing social traits, intellectual abilities, talents, and roles. It is important for the mentor to provide honest feedback. A mentor should encourage the mentee to have realistic expectations of their own capabilities, present and potential position opportunities, and the mentor's offerings. Time. Set aside specific time to meet. Do not change times unless necessary. Meet periodically to control interruptions. Frequently check in with each other via calls or email. The mentee must be an active participant in the relationship. Mentees must prepare. Define desired goals for the mentoring relationship. Complete appropriate preparations for meetings with the mentor. Develop. Work to improve. Be flexible. Listen to the mentor and consider all new options proposed. Take initiative. Seek the mentor's advice when needed. Mentoring benefits. Soldiers and DA civilians who seek feedback to focus their development, coupled with dedicated, well-informed mentors, embed the concepts of lifelong learning, self-development, and adaptability into the Army's culture. The benefits are threefold for the mentor, the mentee, and the organization. Mentor benefits. Serving as a mentor provides many benefits, such as professional development. Becoming identified as someone who develops or mentors well-known performers attracts qualified, high-potential individuals looking for opportunities to work for the mentor. Developing others to follow a mentor's example facilitates the mentor's own personal and professional development and career progression. Knowledge. Mentees are a source of general organizational data, feedback, and fresh ideas. Because higher-level positions isolate some executives and managers, mentees serve as an important link in keeping communication lines open. Although mentors possess experience and wisdom, mentees often provide important feedback about views at different Army levels. Personal satisfaction. Mentors generally report a sense of pride in seeing mentees develop and a sense of contribution to the Army. It is an opportunity to pass on a legacy to the next generation. Sharpen skills. Mentors sharpen management, leadership, and interpersonal skills as they challenge and coach the mentee. Expanded professional contacts. Mentors expand their network by interacting with other mentors, supervisors, and various professional contacts. Mentee benefits. Mentees gain tremendously from a mentoring relationship. Such benefits include increasing self-awareness through candid feedback, building confidence and encouragement to grow beyond usual expectations, having a role model and a trusted advisor, gaining better understanding of the Army and what is required to succeed and advance. Gaining visibility through opportunities to try advanced tasks and demonstrate expanded capabilities. Reporting greater career satisfaction with higher performance and productivity ratings. Organizational benefits. The organization and the Army as a whole benefit in the following ways. Increased commitment and retention. Mentoring increases the understanding of how to reach the next responsibility level, enhancing duty satisfaction and reducing reasons to leave. Improved performance. Mentors and mentees have an opportunity to expand their technical, interpersonal, and leadership skills through the mentorship relationship. Mentoring helps mentees identify and prepare for roles which best fit their needs and interests. This enables the Army to fill positions with the most capable, motivated personnel. Mentoring is functionally efficient because instead of floundering on their own, mentors help mentees to develop career roadmaps. Development. Mentoring increases the effectiveness of developmental activities that occur within the unit and generally produces leaders comfortable with senior-level responsibilities. Leadership succession. Mentoring facilitates the smooth transfer of Army values, culture, traditions, warrior ethos, and other key components to the next generation of Army leaders. Recruitment. An Army-wide mentoring program makes the Army attractive to potential recruits because it shows the Army prioritizes its people and their development. Mentoring skills. It is important to possess key mentoring skills to be an effective mentor. These skills include listening actively. Focus on the mentee's main points and whole meaning. Watch body language, maintain eye contact, and understand which topics are difficult for the mentee to discuss. Showing someone you are listening is a valuable skill. It shows you value what they say and you will not interrupt them. This requires patience and a willingness to delay judgment. Holding back judgments. Reduce emotional reactions, such as anger or excitement, to the mentee's comments. Do not immediately draw conclusions about whether the meaning is good or bad until you are sure you understand the comments. Asking the right questions. The best mentors ask questions that make the mentee think. However, this is not as easy as it sounds. Simply, think of what you want to tell the mentee and frame a question that will help the mentee come to the same conclusion on their own. To do this, ask open questions that a simple yes or no cannot answer. Alternatively, ask direct questions that offer several answer options. Then, ask the mentee why they chose that answer. Providing feedback. Do this in a way that accurately and objectively summarizes what you have heard, but interprets things in a way that adds value for the mentee. Use feedback to show you understand what the mentee's thinking approach has been. This is key to helping the mentee see a situation from another perspective. Resisting distractions. Control the location and minimize outside distractions as much as possible. Focus on the mentee. Insight. The value of a mentor. Major General Fox Connor served in the United States Army for 40 years, but is most remembered for his legacy of mentoring a generation of promising officers, notably Dwight D. Eisenhower. While serving under George S. Patton at Fort Meade in 1920, the two forged a close friendship and began preparing for the Command and General Staff School at Fort Leavenworth by methodically working through the previous year's tactical problems the school used. Because of his work with Patton, Eisenhower was a serious student of tactics when Patton introduced Eisenhower to Connor. Eisenhower accompanied Connor to Panama in 1922 as his chief of staff, when Connor assumed command of the 20th Infantry Brigade. Under Connor's tutelage, Eisenhower perfected his administrative and tactical techniques by drafting formal orders for daily brigade operations and analyzing the tactical problems of fighting on Panamanian terrain. Connor directed an intensive reading program that introduced Eisenhower to Plato and Tacitus, influential thinkers such as Nietzsche and Clausewitz, and various contemporary military writers. During Socratic dialogues about the readings, Connor and Eisenhower discussed the nature of war. One important subject often addressed was the difficulty of Allied command. Connor insisted the Treaty of Versailles made another war inevitable, and any future war would be waged by a coalition with the United States as a member. Because of these dialogues, Eisenhower was aware of the First World War's Allied military command structure defects and pondered the question of coalition warfare as early as 1924. Source: Dwight David Eisenhower, The Centennial, CMH Pub 71-40. Study: Leader development processes in the organization should establish an expectation for each leader to spend personal time seeking knowledge sources and opportunities to grow and learn. If a supervisor's personal involvement and unit resources were always prerequisites for development, it would be a limited effort indeed. Organization leaders should develop distinct ways to study their chosen profession and identify ways to improve the unit. Encourage subordinates of similar positions or grades to form a community of practice group to foster excellence. Provide the group's reach-back capability to web-based forums. Provide each group with an opportunity to present recommendations or new methods to the leader team. Encouraging professional development through outside study and engagement is a way to broaden knowledge, experience, communication skills, empathy, humility, confidence, and an appreciation for diversity. Leaders can gain a deeper understanding of their operational environment and improve their critical and creative thinking skills. While no limit exists to where leaders may find leadership lessons, mass and social media have generated widely accessible options for all echelons of leaders. Some options are professional reading and writing, conferences, panels, and lectures, podcasts, online discussion forums, blogs, and social media. Professional reading and writing. Professional reading broadens leader knowledge, understanding, and confidence. Leaders gain a refined understanding of the material and develop critical thinking skills through pertinent discussion with others. Discussing ideas and topics with peers, subordinates, and leaders who may offer significantly different perspectives exposes all participants to new ideas and potentially broadens their outlook. For personal reading, topics may come from established reading lists, stem from personal interests, or follow from determining strengths and developmental needs. As part of a personal reading program, leaders may choose to maintain a reading journal to take notes and record key passages, insights, and reflections. When recording thoughts, leaders gain clarity, develop new ideas, refine existing ideas, and likely share insights with others. Journals can record related book and article titles for further investigation. Documents often suggest related information to expand knowledge of the subject. The end of a chapter or book may list related documents. The bibliography or footnotes identify information sources the author used. To help narrow the search, note any reference that sounds interesting or relevant. Individuals should consider writing for publication as a complementary element to a professional reading program. Writing increases self-development as well as develops others who gain from the lessons learned and stimulated thought. Consider publishing papers created through the writing program in branch journals or as blog entries. This shares ideas and gathers feedback for the author, which could be beneficial in further developing the original ideas. Conferences, panels, and lectures. Conferences, panels, and lectures are a great tool for learning about new topics, observing panel member interactions, and seeing how lecturers communicate ideas with an audience. Attending professional conferences and lectures in person can be time and cost prohibitive for individuals and units, but the advent of social media and distributed academic lectures can provide a remote viewing option. The ability for leaders to refine their skills at research, presenting material to an audience, and fielding questions or comments can be an invaluable way to enhance leadership and communication skills. Knowing where to find conference schedules or lecture events can help leaders identify events best suited for their learning requirements. Military professional organizations, military history museums and societies, universities and colleges, and professional journals are good sources for lectures, conference panel information, and previously presented content. Following these organizations on social media allows leaders to stay updated about events that may be valuable as learning tools. Along with providing reading recommendations, leaders can provide recommendations for lecture series and panel events that may interest and enhance a subordinate's development. Podcasts. Podcasts cover wide varieties of military and organizational leadership topics and can be used to supplement unit reading or viewing programs. Selecting a podcast for a specific topic equates to helping subordinates choose an appropriate book journal article, or movie. It requires leader familiarity with the content and the lessons they want a subordinate to learn from the content, like verifying the credentials for an article or author before including a work in a leader development program. Verifying the content and credentials of a podcast host and their participants is equally as important. Multiple DoD and Army podcasts exist to support professional development programs. Online discussion forums, blogs, and social media. Online professional discussion forums, leadership-oriented blogs, and social media groups oriented on military leadership provide a wealth of mentorship and development opportunities and potential pitfalls. Online activities and social media are a constant presence in the daily lives of soldiers, DA civilians, and families. Understanding how various platforms work, to include who engages and how they engage, is crucial to Army leaders at all echelons. Soldiers live their lives increasingly online, which influences how they interact with their peers, leaders, and even the American people. This has real-life effects on an organization's readiness, cohesion, and environment. Social discussion forums range from professional discussion forums to informal discussion threads on social media platforms. Using professional discussion boards and blogs for leadership questions and advice can provide new perspectives, creative solutions, and connections between peers and leaders. Informal discussion forums open discussion to a wider and often anonymous audience, providing risk and opportunities for leaders and subordinates. Anonymity allows users to engage in frank discussion on challenging topics that they may feel uncomfortable discussing in person. At the same time, this can create echo chambers and subversive discussion that can harm team cohesion or chain of command. Leaders should understand the potential for positive and negative professional development and dialogue. Blogs and video blogs, vlogs, can promote accessible and easily consumable leadership and professional development lessons for a wide audience. Professional military blogs and vlogs promote a faster way for individuals to write, publish, or broadcast on relevant military topics. Like journal articles, leaders should responsibly promote consuming well-researched material. Blogs and vlogs offer multiple topics to highlight leadership concepts and lessons, even those that are not related to the military. Army leaders increasingly engage their subordinates, peers, and senior leaders through social media platforms. See FM3-61 and AR360-1 for information and guidelines about building and managing unit social media pages. Social media accounts typically fall into two main categories: organization-sponsored social media pages or personal social media pages. For leaders developing a plan to maximize their personal social media accounts, building and maintaining a personal social media plan can be invaluable to setting personal goals and limits for engaging others. Selecting the desired platforms requires an understanding of how to maximize the potential for each platform for individual engagement and development. For leaders using personal social media to communicate ideas to a wide audience, understanding the fine line between professional and unprofessional behavior is crucial. Using personal social media pages to feature family, viewpoints, and personal achievements and struggles provides an opportunity to highlight the realities of off-duty life. Being transparent and professional are not mutually exclusive for all Army leaders. Social media can offer a wide-reaching option to share the value of professional off-duty soldiers and leaders. See AR25-2 and AR600-20 for information and regulatory guidelines to manage professional behaviors on personal social media pages. Section 4. Creating opportunities. Creating opportunities for development or using existing experience opportunities is a fourth way to create a development culture. An organizational culture develops based on shared values, beliefs, and learning. These cultural values, when consistent with the mission, affect an organization's performance. Leaders foster a positive culture by providing a supportive command climate that values member involvement in learning. Likewise, key leader position selections and responsibilities have implications for developing leaders far into the future. Integrating these efforts into a holistic program establishes lasting operating norms. Developing leaders to this level requires investing time and effort, but leaves a legacy of trained and ready leaders for tomorrow's Army. Leader selection and screening can be useful in development efforts. Forming leader teams where strengths in one complement developmental needs in another is a common selection goal. Developing leaders is often about preparing them for responsibilities in the next position. Creating opportunities for leader development involves creating challenging experiences, sharpening leader selection, planning leader succession, tracking career development and management. Challenging experiences. Experience is a developmental tool. Pressure, complexity, novelty, and uncertainty characterize challenging experiences. Leaders create learning opportunities by placing subordinates into challenging assignments to stretch their thinking and behavior. Challenge creates interesting and motivating learning situations. Leaders create these experiences or ensure opportunities provide learning experiences. All Army assignments inherently provide some developmental challenge. Development happens even if supervisors do nothing at all. Creating the right challenges in a position for a particular leader can dramatically increase development. Some missions or circumstances may not offer key developmental opportunities. Supervisors may need to shape position responsibilities to allow a subordinate to enhance personal leadership skills. Before adjusting a position's requirements, leaders should consider unit and mission demands. Leaders should be deliberate in placing subordinates in special missions and organizational assignments. Experienced leaders implicitly know the defining tasks early in an assignment and should be deliberate about identifying these tasks and ensuring each leader gains experience from them. Sometimes, supervisors must assign subordinates to positions where they do not have the requisite skills or experience. Supervisors should consider modifying position requirements and providing additional support or resources. Not all leaders develop on the same timelines. Supervising leaders should be willing to adjust how much time each subordinate stays in a developmental position within the parameters available. Supervisors should involve human resources staff early, as decisions may have implications beyond the organization. When making such determinations, supervisors should weigh the effects on unit performance, leader team stability, leadership needs of adjacent units, higher units, and the Army, the leader's well-being and personal growth. In determining what subordinates need to learn, ask them about the top three skills they need to improve unit performance. Doing so motivates them and increases their awareness about the leader skills they need to learn. Leader selection. Supervising leaders should foster an attitude that leadership positions are not necessarily automatic appointments. It is neither a privilege nor an entitlement to serve in a leadership position. A leadership position is an Army requirement to fill a public need to provide for the nation's common defense. Therefore, leader selection fills the Army's requirement with individuals that will best discharge those duties. Selections for key leader positions require thorough consideration. Each step in a deliberate screening and selection process should narrow the field of acceptable candidates. Forecast potential position openings. Identify key leader characteristics. Build a candidate pool by working with higher, adjacent, and subordinate units as applicable. Use selection tools to screen out applicants, such as conducting a career file review to identify prerequisite experiences and training. Review files and rate candidates against career indicators. Reviewing disciplinary or derogatory information in personnel or intelligence staff files. Obtaining references or recommendations on the leader from trusted sources. Conducting structured interviews with candidates for the position. Structure the interviews to assess values, attributes, and responses to various situations. Organizations may develop minimum prerequisite knowledge or skills requirements for specific positions. Final candidates may demonstrate capabilities by conducting a task that proves their qualifications for the position, such as leading a patrol or leading a convoy. Select and appoint approved candidates. If creating a qualified candidate pool is not possible, supervising leaders should consider modifying the position or providing additional support or resources to available candidates. Consider the leader team when selecting leaders. For example, pair a technically strong warrant officer with a tactically strong officer. Pair a strong operations officer with an intelligence officer willing to challenge the operational plan by forcefully presenting the enemy viewpoint. Pair a highly experienced non-commissioned officer, NCO, with a less experienced lieutenant. Leader succession. Succession planning is a developmental activity for individual leaders that focuses on deliberate planning to provide opportunities for experience in key developmental assignments and to prepare for future assignments beyond the unit. Unit leaders may not have total input into succession planning, but with forethought, can have plans to rotate leaders within the unit. Succession planning is a local system of talent management. Senior leaders plan systematic subordinate rotation within the organization so that trained and qualified leaders are ready to assume vacancies. Proven leaders move on to positions of greater responsibility, and marginal leaders receive opportunities to improve. Succession planning serves individual leaders by looking beyond the organization's replacement interests. It helps develop leaders with the potential to succeed in future positions beyond their current unit and returns a benefit to the Army by optimizing development opportunities and duration across the unit's leaders. Understanding the projected career paths and timing for leader branches and specialties is an important factor in succession planning. Moving leaders into and out of positions should depend upon unit performance. Keeping leaders in positions long enough so that their stability promotes high unit performance. Army need. Providing experienced leaders back to the Army to fulfill its requirements. Individual developmental goals and readiness. Determining when the leader has achieved development goals and is ready to take on new responsibilities and challenges. Supervising leaders should work with human resources staff to predict accurate leader gains and losses to the unit. Be sure to account for leader needs for career and position-specific training before position assumption. Assess leaders during their initial assignments to drive subsequent position assignments. Use leader vacancies due to schooling, special assignment, or leave as development opportunities. Assign less experienced leaders temporarily to the vacancies. Identify the key leader positions that trigger succession planning and management. Chart the timing and sequencing of leaders into and out of unit leader positions. Account for prerequisite schooling and plan primary and alternate candidates for each position. Insight, Grant and McPherson. During the American Civil War, Ulysses S. Grant rose to become the Union Army's Commander-in-Chief. Along the way, he developed select officers to succeed him. Those supported for further advancement showed three attributes: personal loyalty, a willingness to do any duty necessary to prosecute the war, and a desire to prove oneself in battle. One of Grant's inner circle gained his full trust and confidence, James B. McPherson. McPherson was a regular Army officer who graduated from West Point in 1853 and commissioned as an engineer. Eager to find a combat assignment, he joined Grant's staff in January 1862 after promotion to lieutenant colonel. McPherson served admirably as Grant's chief engineer during the Fort Donelson campaign and at Shiloh. A rising star, Grant promoted McPherson to major general in 1862 and appointed him to command an infantry corps. His successes during the Vicksburg campaign cemented his reputation. When Grant was promoted and sent east, he wisely designated McPherson as commander of the Army of the Tennessee. Grant knew the old Army adage that best friends may not always make the best generals. McPherson had indeed become Grant's friend over the years. However, McPherson's ability to see Grant's goals and work tirelessly to meet them won his commander's full confidence and support. McPherson did not disappoint. While other generals sought to seize ground and take cities, he endeavored to engage and destroy enemy armies. McPherson's army was successful in driving the Confederates back through northwest Georgia as part of Sherman's Atlanta campaign. Leading from the front, McPherson died in action on 22 July 1864. Grant memorialized McPherson as one of the ablest, purest, and best generals. Sherman called him a man who was qualified to heal national strife. Even John Bell Hood, an adversary, marked his passing with friendship and admiration. Yet while he lived, McPherson proved a sterling example of how to establish a succession of command. Career development and management. Individuals should understand and actively manage their own career paths, while supervisors should consider the career paths and influence their subordinates to gain breadth and development. AR 600-100 directs supervisors to provide opportunities for a subordinate's individual development. Commanders and other senior leaders should encourage their developing subordinates to take challenging assignments. Reserve component leaders should be aware of subordinates' civilian development plan as this may affect their ability to take on new and challenging assignments. The ability to see and select the best opportunities for themselves requires leaders to be equally proactive in advocating for subordinates who request selection for assignments and references. This requires leaders to help subordinates account for all their career development factors, including post-military considerations. Balancing Army needs with personal choices. Finding the proper balance between professional work and personal life while planning career development challenges professionals at all career stages. The Army has experienced significant change with integrating women into traditional ground combat branches and efforts toward inclusion and diversity. This fosters discussion and understanding about family impacts on a soldier's career choices and Army impacts on families. Leaders draw on career experiences to help subordinates see how choices affect professional careers and personal lives. Acknowledging the interrelated nature of a professional soldier's personal life is a key facet of fostering trust between leaders and subordinates across the force. Most career planning models have common steps. Perform a self-assessment to determine strengths and developmental needs based on abilities, characteristics, needs, responsibilities, or interests or goals. Weigh the possibilities to choose goals and milestones for self-development efforts. Generate additional possibilities, goals, and milestones to align self-development goals to determine opportunities or friction points. Create an IDP that uses effective learning methods. Implement the plans, overcome obstacles, and measure progress. Ask organizational leaders to describe their most valuable leader development experience. Give them time to think about it before they respond. Have them briefly write about the experience or tell their peer group. Use their experiences to help prioritize implementation. Providing a first, second, third, and fourth priority reflects the understanding that leaders may not be able to implement every idea or method. Some development methods provide a leader with a higher return in performance for less resource investment. Professional development programs. Unit leaders are responsible for creating overall professional development programs comprised of specific sessions focused on unit needs. Leader professional development programs are deliberate and represent a cohesive approach to increasing the skills and readiness of the organization's leaders. Leader development programs are an effective vehicle when consistently applied. Successful programs include common elements such as mission essential leader task training when a common need exists across the organization, required orientation or education sessions such as equal opportunity and safety, cohesion building activities to foster esprit de corps, such as dining ins, sports, or adventure training. Opportunities for the commander, command sergeant major, or first sergeant to emphasize key guidance to all leaders. Education sessions on leader career path topics, assignments, schooling, or promotions. Education sessions on the mission command principles, culture, and geopolitical issues. Professional development sessions conducted to facilitate discussion and collaboration are extremely valuable in gaining a greater understanding and applying specific information or skills in a unit. The information sources and means of conducting these sessions are endless and allow for creativity. Instructors should not rely solely on dry briefings. Scenarios and materials should be tailored to the grades and ranks present. These sessions are great team-building opportunities to bring together groups of different ranks and responsibilities. All these applications fulfill organizational leaders' training and developmental needs. To implement leader development programs effectively, leaders should follow these guidelines. See Chapter 5 for additional information and examples. Link training and professional development. Clearly communicate purpose and relevance. Gather all leaders together only when doing so is the most effective learning method. Consider prior listed applications as integral to leader development programs. Leaders can find materials to support professional development from various sites, such as CAPL. To provide leaders with an in-depth perspective on a mission-essential task for the organization, such as security patrols or convoy operations, supervisory leaders should lead the task in professional development sessions, while subordinate leaders perform the soldier roles. By practicing task execution to standard, the organization's leaders will be more effective at supervising future execution. Example session. Developing mission command. Units that understand mission command principles effectively seize opportunities and make decisions consistent with commander's intent. Consider the following steps to ensure mission command principles are a key part of the training strategy. Step 1. Educate the unit on mission command principles. Members of all ranks need to understand the principles and the need for each. Ask the following questions. Do leaders integrate mission command principles into training opportunities? If so, how? Do leaders specifically identify mission command principles when leading subordinates? Do leaders make subordinates aware that mission command principles exist within their current roles and responsibilities? Step 2. Ask the unit about the roles subordinates play in mission command. Have them describe, in their own words, the concepts of delegated authority and making decisions with commander's intent. Ask the following questions. What methods do leaders typically use to delegate authority? What subordinate actions demonstrate good judgment while exercising initiative? Which do not? What opportunities do leaders give subordinates to demonstrate achieving the commander's intent? To what extent do subordinate responses indicate a clear understanding of the mission command principles? Step 3. Review your leader development program and modify as needed to ensure mission command principles are regularly addressed. Consider how training activities support subordinates in making good decisions when exercising initiative. While completing the review, consider these questions. What does counseling look like in your unit, and how can it be improved? Is it helpful, or is it just process? Does subordinate behavior suggest that commanders trust and support subordinates' decisions? Do training events allow subordinates to improve upon their decision-making abilities in both predictable and unpredictable situations? Opportunities during training events. Training is an organized, structured, continuous, and progressive process based on sound learning principles designed to increase the capability of individuals, units, and organizations to perform specified tasks or skills. The training objective is to increase competent leaders' ability to perform in multiple training and operational situations. Individual task training builds individual competence and confidence to perform these tasks to support collective training and operations. Leaders contribute substantially to the unit's mission success or lack of success. Therefore, the Army devotes considerable resources to foster leader development during exercises. Providing leadership feedback is a challenging yet essential part of training exercises. Leaders have a specific task to observe subordinates during planning and while executing missions. Understanding how to treat leadership as a skill set to develop and improve is an essential contributor to mission accomplishment. Where possible, leaders ought to use guided discovery learning. This places the observed leader in charge of their learning, with the chain of command in a supporting role. Using guided discovery learning during training exercises prepares the leader to be a self-guided learner in any setting. See Section 2 in Chapter 2 for leader performance descriptions at different proficiency levels to support observation and feedback efforts. Insight: missed opportunities. Captain Williams' company was tasked to run the Battalion M2 range. Knowing the company's high operating tempo while preparing to deploy for an NTC rotation, she assigned the duty to her top performer, First Lieutenant Taylor. She got several updates from First Lieutenant Taylor regarding planning and resources for the range. She led battalion range operations before and understands Lieutenant Colonel Cano's expectations. Captain Williams is therefore surprised when Lieutenant Colonel Cano stops by. Lieutenant Colonel Cano. Captain Williams, I understand everyone is busy, but I feel you may have missed an opportunity to offer First Lieutenant Taylor some much-needed guidance concerning the M2 range. While he had a very solid plan, there was some key information missing in his brief to me that I feel you would have caught. Did he provide a back brief to you on his plan of action before presenting it to me and Major Blank? Captain Williams, I did not require him to back brief me, sir. I instructed First Lieutenant Taylor to run the plan and his resource requirements by First Sergeant Diaz while I was focused on other tasks. I did not take the time to bring him in for a rehearsal brief. Guess I hung First Lieutenant Taylor out to dry. Lieutenant Colonel Cano, the mistakes were minor and the plan was sound. However, it is our duty to prioritize development of our leaders, to show them, for example, how much rigor should go into planning and how overlooked details can result in serious consequences. Captain Williams, yes, sir. In this case, the fact that First Lieutenant Taylor has participated in but never run an M2 range before, I should have prioritized supervision of the 8-step training model. Civilian training and development programs. The Civilian Education System is a structured program with central funding for all DA civilians and serves as the foundation for civilian leader development. DA civilians have developmental opportunities based on their duty series, grouped into career programs. Each career program provides career planning tools to enable core competency development. The Army Career Development Program provides a planned course of professional development by combining formal training and education with progressively challenging work experiences. See AR 690-950 for more information.